Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today's Kadasi, and we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, and then towards the end we'll also read something from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, as is the practice on Ekadasi here. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami, Text 24. Tatash chava prichya imam vipriche vishrabya vipra iti krityataya sarvatmana priyamana cha pritya shuddham cha tatram rishatabi yukta. Tatash chava pricham imam vipriche.
Tatash chava imam vipriche.
Vishrabya vipra iti krityatayam.
Vishrabya vipra iti krityatayam.
Sarvatmana mriya manaischa kritya.
Sarvatmana mriya manaischa kritya.
Shudam chatatram rishatabi yukta.
Shudam chatatram rishatabi yukta.
Tata. As such.
As such.
Cha
and
va
unto you,
prichyam,
that which is to be asked,
imam,
this,
vipriche,
beg to ask you,
vishrabya,
trustworthy,
vipra,
Brahmins,
iti,
thus,
Krityataya,
out of all different duties,
Sarva Atmana,
by everyone,
Mriyamane,
especially those who are just about to die,
cha
and
krityam,
dutiful.
Shuddham,
perfectly correct.
Cha
and
tatra,
therein.
Amrishata,
by complete deliberation.
Abiyukta,
just befitting.
Translation.
O trustworthy Brahmins, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to the dying man is most important because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Shukadev Goswami also on his arrival. And practically the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto up to the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrived at thereof is that devotional service of the Lord Sri Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord himself in the last phases of the Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has especially mentioned the word shuddha, or perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophers. Some of them are first-class methods, and some of them are second- or third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one give up all other methods and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and their reactions. Tatascheva prichyami mam viprache visrabhya vipra iti krityatayam sarvatmana mriyamanaischa krityam shudam tachatram rishatabhiyukta. O trustworthy Brahmins, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chayadesh Tarni Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaiti Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaurava Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakapacharubhyasthakrita sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anyone who wants to sit on the floor, we've got a couple more cushions here. So this is very important, extremely important verse, actually. And Shukadev Goswami is putting it so nicely, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining it so nicely that, first point, interesting, smaller point, but it's important. He's asking these great sages, we were talking about them yesterday and before to some degree, what were their qualifications, what were their levels of Krishna conscious advancement, and Maharaj Parikshit also for that matter. And here Maharaj Parikshit expresses it. It's kind of very simple, you could say, but it's very, very relevant and to the point. He says, O trustworthy Brahmins, Vishrabhya Vipra. Yes, Vishrabhya means trustworthy Vipra Brahmins. That, of course, there's so many devotees and personalities who have some understanding of Vedic knowledge and like that. But now there's another one more seat, last one, just about. Yes, so the degree of trustworthiness of a person is ultimately directly related with their level of spiritual advancement. We know that Chanakya Pandit said, and Srila Prabhupada quoted, that certain people may not be trustworthy. That we've heard. And basically the idea is people, he's referring to people who are not just on the material platform, but they're very much on the level of their senses and their minds. The more a person is on the level of their senses and their mind, and it doesn't really matter who they are, male, female, some sort of scholar by some standards, or some sort of leader, or just some sort of anybody, really. But the more they're on the level of their senses and their minds and controlled or influenced by these things, then the more they, you could say, are not trustworthy, but ultimately the point is, the more they are not capable of maintaining the standards which would be referred to as being trustworthiness, because they're just too influenced by the senses and the mind. By the senses, and then the mind is influenced by the senses. And as the circumstances change in relation to their minds and senses, their positions, their convictions, and their decisions and ideas about what should be done, what they will do, and life in general, they're subject to change. This is really, Chanakya Pandit made this point, and you know, Chanakya Pandit was not exactly like a strictly speaking a great Vaishnav, but he certainly in moral terms and terms like this particular statement, he certainly got a lot of things right. He was very clever. And Srila Prabhupada therefore quoted him on some number of occasions. Yes, so this is one of those sayings of his which Srila Prabhupada referred to. And yes, so that's the point. And of course, just to quote him, he said, women and politicians, two categories. Now, of course, it's not an absolute statement, so ladies, Hare Krishna, we have the greatest respect and affection for you all, particularly for those who are devotees. And, of course, again, dependent on the degree of advancement, this may or may not be relevant, but we see, you know, he mentioned politicians, and this is just so blatantly obvious that when politicians want to be elected, then they say many things, very encouraging things. Things which will be encouraging to many people, to certain people. And of course, there's a very specific idea behind that nowadays when the system, at least in the more developed world, the system is democracy, then you have to get the support of the people. If you don't get the support, you may be as clever as possible, as expert as possible. You may have the most wonderful policies, actually, which will help the people. But if you can't catch the attention of the people and get them behind you, then it's hot air, really. It's basically hot air. And there's no actual consequence unless you get elected. It just remains nice ideas. So you've got to get elected. This is rule number one in politics. And rule number two is you have to get elected. And rule number three is, you must get elected. And there are no other rules, actually. In a sense. But in a sense, it's, you know, it's like that a lot more than a lot of people might like to admit or, you know, understand. So anyway, so they say all these things. But it is more or less universal that they definitely don't follow up on all the things they say. Some of them they just ignore. Some of them they actually do the opposite. This is what happens. Yes. And what to speak of someone like Mr. Trump. But anyway, we are not into politics. But at least you could say he is setting himself up for having to not do a lot of things that he's emphasizing that he will do. Anyway, so trustworthiness. Trustworthiness then ultimately is not just a matter of just being kind of decisive enough or just being ready enough to do what you've said, but it actually depends on your position and how much you are influenced by your mind or your senses. Because when your senses start dictating strongly that if we actually do this, which we said we would do, then we are going to get into trouble. And the mind feels, yes, we are going to get into big trouble and we are not going to feel good. Then even if you said that you are going to do it, but if it's really like that, then the mind will change. Someone said, I read a few years ago about politicians actually, that politicians are multi-armed, like Lord Vishnu has four arms, sometimes eight, and some demigods also, and even there's Sahasrabahu Vishnu in the eighth canto, Lord Vishnu with 1,000 arms. So the person who was not a devotee, but was just, you know, a little bit of an incisive thinker, was referring to one politician who said, yes, we must do this. Things changed a bit. And then he said, but on the other hand, perhaps we should do that. And then things changed a bit further. And then he said, but on another hand. So he's multi-handed, multi-armed. Like this. On the other hand. And there are many other hands. So, you know, yeah. So, but these Brahmins, these devotees, these great sages and transcendental personalities who have assembled here on the banks of the Ganges to be with Maharaj Parikshit at this crucial, critical time of his, you know, impending departure, they are of such a level, not just really just standard of character, but they are on such levels of spiritual advancement that they can be trusted, and they can be trusted absolutely. And not just while the wind is blowing this way, they can be trusted, but when the wind changes direction, well, you know, the situation will change. They're absolutely trustworthy. And therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is asking these very most essential questions for an embodied being, a conditioned soul within this material world. They're such essential questions that what is the duty of everyone? What should everyone do in all circumstances, no matter what is the situation? Good, bad, medium, this way, that way, some other way. What is the duty of everyone? Very important point. And secondly, and as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, it's even more important, is what is the duty of everyone when they're about to die? When they're just about to die, it's just, you know, it's just around the corner, it's right there. So they're both like vital questions. The second one, there's a type of immediacy, like more drastic sense of immediacy, someone who's just about to die, whereas the other one is more general, although it's also extremely important, and it's also immediate in a sense. But as Srila Prabhupada points out here, who knows when they are going to be at the point where they are just about to die? Who knows? It's unusual. Well, anyway, whatever degree it is or isn't unusual that people have like clear warning that you're actually going to die in some certain period of time. You know, someone gets some terminal disease, of course. If someone, you know, is condemned to die in some criminal procedure, if someone is kidnapped by ISIS or their friends, their colleagues, then, you know, well, you've got warning. You're going to die shortly, and you know, you really are. The likelihood of it going any other way is quite remote. So, but otherwise, who really knows? Who really knows? And even, well, we have one devotee still, down, I think, in Kawastan, Amshlatazana, that sort of area, who has faulty heart and who's been struggling with this for many years. And finally, the system started shutting down and she went into a coma and was in the coma for a while, I mean, like a month or something, and just in a coma. And the doctors, in their expertise, said, yes, you know, that's it. Good night. They wouldn't treat her any further. She recovered. One morning she just woke up and now she's moving around the house and life is going on. So it's hard to say. It's really hard to say. And ultimately the point is that, Hare Krishna, the point is that it will happen, and when it happens, you better be ready. You not just better be ready, you got to be ready. Because if you're not, incidentally, just while we're at it, this is Lakshmi Devi from Lithuania. There she is, who's come to get your association and sing in Rathiatra. So as we sometimes jokingly say to devotees when they're in, I mean, actually we don't say it, but we think that, you know, it could be said in a certain sense. When two devotees are going through a marriage ceremony and they don't really know what's happening, and the person who's the priest is, you know, not on top of it so much to direct them clearly, so they get mixed up and they go round each other the wrong way, or, you know, go backwards somewhere or something. So we think of saying sometimes, don't worry, it's easier the second time. Anyway, Hare Krishna. That's just a joke. That's just a joke. But, you know, when it comes to the time of death, then the Yamadutas or whoever comes and they say, this is it, here we go. Then you can't really say, well, listen, you know, just hang on. Just, you know, I know you're coming. Come back next week and I'll get myself together. It's just, when it happens, it happens. And if you're not ready, you're not ready. And if you're not ready, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows? We know what happened to Maharaj Bharat. And just who knows? Really, who knows? But it's very important what happens. It's very important what happens. So Maharaj Parikshit, because he knows, he's got warning. You know, I've mentioned before, but, you know, some of you may not have heard, a near-death experience I had when I was a child going to school at the bus stop to catch the bus to go to school. I was maybe at most 10, maybe a bit less, something like that. And the bus was at the stop. I was about to get up and go, get on the bus. And my friend was being driven to school by his father on the other, they were on the other side of the road, and they shouted out, hey, come on, come with us. So, okay. So I just ran out. I didn't look. Ran out in front of the bus, which was stopped. Ran out to cross the road to get in the car. Next thing, I was waking up in bed at home like 3 hours later, because I got hit by a car, which I just didn't see. And when I woke up, I had to ask what happened, because I didn't know what happened. Talk about getting a what happened. Too much of a what happened. Really, but really. So the thing is this, and you know, another interesting point is that some people think, even some devotees do think, that if, you know, we hope we get warning, we're going to die like a terminal disease or something, we get warning, and so, okay, right, now I'm going to get ready, focus my mind. That's all, that's good. And many devotees think that what you must do, what must be done, is that when you actually leave the body at that time, then the devotees must be right next to your ears and just screaming, Hare Krishna, just as you leave the body and then back to Godhead.
But it appears to not be that simple. It's more a matter because people, it seems, generally don't just leave the body goodbye, but they sort of drift away, unless there's some accident or some sort of split-second type of situation. But otherwise, generally, it seems people sort of lapse into unconsciousness as the body slows down and then slowly turns off. And it takes hours. And during that time, they're not conscious. They're just oblivious. I mean, almost like you can shout as loud as you like, you're not going to get any response. So ultimately, the point is really that we have to be fixed in Krishna consciousness always and cultivating Krishna consciousness always, and Krishna, who is watching, will take all these things into consideration. And your destination will really be in his hands, and in terms of how, in general, you developed your Krishna consciousness, rather than just last moment, quickly chant, and then, oh, back to Godhead. Yes. So, yeah, these very important questions, and as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, that actually they are the subject matter for the whole rest of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in one sense, they've already been the subject matter for the first canto, where we're right in the last so many verses, 15, 16 verses of the first canto. It's already in effect been the subject matter. But from the second canto, Shukadev Goswami, right at the beginning of the second canto, is going to give a straight answer to this very straight question: what is the duty of someone who's about to die? And that verse, I forget the whole verse, but the crucial line is, ante Narayana Smriti, ante, at the end, you must remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what you must do. Srila Prabhupada makes the point also in the purport, it's a very important point, that there are different ways, different methods, processes for transcendental realization, self-realization. Even within Krishna consciousness, you could say there are different, if not methods or processes, but there are certainly different types of approaches to practicing Krishna consciousness. And what to speak in the broader sense, the Vedic tradition and different yogas and types of sacrifice and ceremonies and whatnot, and different mantras. But in Krishna consciousness, there are also different approaches, different ways of doing it, different perspectives, types of ways of focusing and really applying yourself. Like we know in the other yugas, Krita Yajyayato Vishnam, In Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga, the prescribed method is to meditate silently on the Supreme Lord. In Treta Yuga, to perform sacrifice, fire sacrifice, basically, yajna. In Dwapara Yuga, to worship the deity, but kalo tad hari kirtanat, yajyai sankirtana prayer. Yajanti hi sumedasa. Sumedasa. That's 11th Canto, chapter 5, verse 32. And
it's being pointed out that if people, not just people, but not just people, but devotees, if they really are su-medasa, if they really have good intelligence, everyone has some intelligence, but if someone really has the very best su-medasa, very good quality intelligence, then they will understand that the process in Kali Yuga is Yajnai Sankirtana, the Sankirtan Yajna. And, you know, of course, the Sankirtan Yajna can also be seen in sort of broadish terms, arguably anything, any bona fide activity in Krishna consciousness can be seen to be falling under the umbrella of the Sankirtan Yajna, directly or indirectly or whatever. But ultimately, if we're able to really participate, to actually take part in the Sankirtan Yajna of going out and giving people Krishna consciousness and distributing Krishna consciousness like that, this, well, su-medasa, people who really have the best type of intelligence, they'll understand that even within the context of Krishna consciousness, this is where we should give our emphasis as much as reasonably possible. Because, and this is like the first class amongst the first class methods. First class being bhakti yoga, devotional service. And then there's second class, third class. Even Prabhupada referred to, Hare Krishna, Christianity as fourth class. Hare Krishna. And I think Islam, if I remember correctly, was also placed into that category. Don't tell them we said that, because they'll probably declare jihad on us. But anyway, yeah. So there's different methods on different levels, and all of them, to one degree or another, may be methods, actual methods, for achieving transcendental realization. Or if not achieving, perhaps for helping move in that direction like that. But Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the first class method. And within devotional service, the Sankirtan Yajna is the first class of the first class. So we should really try and do like that. And really try to come to the point of being trustworthy. Actually being trustworthy in the sense of through Krishna consciousness becoming purified enough that our senses and our minds become controlled and focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that way our consciousness becomes clear or more and more clear as we progress, and then we will be able to stick more in the position of Krishna consciousness without being conditional about it if the circumstances fluctuate. So these are some thoughts, at least, on this verse. Any comments or questions on that to start off with? Yeah?
Regarding the question of trustworthiness,
right,
that implies someone being trustworthy to someone else.
Sure.
So it occurred to me that, for example, we have the example of that drunk doctor who gave a very good advice to Srila Prabhupada, if I'm not mistaken, to take one of the blocks. He certainly wasn't self-controlled, and yet he was, in that specific way, trustworthy. And conversely, we have seen examples of very advanced devotees who are very fixed, and who may not have given the perfect ideal advice in terms of material considerations about a career or a marriage or a health. And so, could you kindly speak a few words on that?
You know, that doctor, it wasn't really that he was trustworthy. He didn't understand the condition Prabhupada was in. And he just thought, you know, he didn't know Prabhupada was having a heart attack. He thought, ah, oh, you know, he's just maybe not a malingerer as such, but just, you know, it's not a serious situation. So he gave not serious advice somehow. And, you know, somehow Krishna, in certain situations, Krishna may speak through people. If Krishna really wants to give some, you know, I mean, we've probably all have had the experience, I know I have, of sitting in a class, something's on my mind. And then suddenly in the class, the devotee just answers your question or something like that. These things happen by Krishna's arrangement. It's not that the devotee was planning that, yes, you know, he is in such a condition. He needs to hear this. Therefore, I'm going to slip it in. It's actually Krishna's arrangement. So that doctor, even by medical standards, was not at that time really trustworthy because he was intoxicated and he wasn't thinking straight. Yeah, and he misunderstood Prabhupada's condition, and he just, you know, he just wanted to go, actually. So he just said, ah, you know, he just needs more exercise. And Prabhupada is a great transcendentalist. He understood, you know, like they say, you can take gold from a dirty place. It was a really dirty place, but somehow, by the grace of the Lord, Prabhupada, you know, there was something in it. Not that Prabhupada at that time needed to just stand up and just go on a morning walk. He needed to go to hospital for a while. But in the long term, Prabhupada applied that. And, you know, very advanced devotees, it depends, you know. It really depends. How advanced they may really be, it depends on, and it also depends on the perspective on the situation, because in any given situation that a devotee finds himself or herself in, usually there'll be, or often there'll be, a number of possible approaches how to deal with the situation. And so, you know, there may be a number of possible right answers or right enough, or, you know, depends on the situation. But could, you know, if he or she does certain things, could be really the best thing, or, you know, first class, second class, third class type of approach. So it depends, yeah. It depends. But sometimes, you know, even advanced devotees may misunderstand a situation. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not advanced. It may mean that they don't understand, don't know enough about the situation to really give the most relevant advice. You know, it depends. It depends. Those are a few thoughts. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Oh, yes, Father.
Yes, that's right.
We have heard so many blessings and promises from the scriptures about going back to Godhead.
Yes.
Like even the Tulsi, one who succumbs to Tulsi.
Yes.
Even the sin of offending a Brahman.
Killing a Brahman. Brahmahatya.
Forgive them. So this sounds like going back to Godhead is easy. It's not, you know, it's something not so difficult. So, I mean, can
you really...
it sounds like, yeah, you don't need to do so much on your side.
Well, you don't need to be... You don't need to be a spiritual Superman, Batman, or, you know, one of these characters. You just got to be a sincere soul. That's the bottom line. You don't even need to be, you know, like a big expert, very strong, spiritual Rambo. Something. You really... What you need is to really be very sincere and follow things. And if you do like that, well, Malati, Devi Dasi, who was here a few weeks ago, right? She must have told the story that when she asked Prabhupada sort of the same question. Did she tell that story? Anyway, I heard her tell it before that she said to Prabhupada that you say all we have to do is chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles. Did she tell the story? She must have, yeah. Basically like that, right? Chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and we'll go back to Godhead. But it sounds too simple. How could it be so simple? And as I recall her saying, that Prabhupada then looked at her, you know, in a very sort of compassionate way. And Prabhupada said, do you think that I would cheat you? Yeah. There's also, I mean, it's the same point really, but there is the saying, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. But if you are complicated and you're inclined to make it complicated, you can make it so complicated that it becomes impossible. Yeah, for you, it's possible to make it impossible. Like, to walk from here to the temple, you can walk, you know, it's a hundred or a couple of hundred meters. If you wanted to, you could go south via Cape Town, via Antarctica, you know, come up on the other side, come around, you know, down through Europe, through North Africa if you make it, and through Central Africa, Zimbabwe, and through Bait Bridge, Messina, Johannesburg, and you could arrive at the entrance of the temple. You could do it like that. You could actually do it like that. And it sounds stupid because it is. And you know, when you overcomplicate things, you may think you're being intelligent, but actually you're being stupid. Yeah. And there's I don't have the recording here, it's on my computer, of Srila Prabhupada being asked that how do we control our minds, you know, because our minds, they're so difficult. How do we do it when we're chanting? How do we control our minds? And we should play it to you sometimes, just a few seconds. Prabhupada says, what do you mean control the mind? There's no need to worry about controlling the mind. Just chant and hear the chanting. That's all. So you see, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple. Yeah. think we should end here. We spoke a little bit about Srila Prabhupada. Is that okay?
Okay.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.